Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Beyond. Beyond is Beyond here on EastVillageRadio.com. This is Mike Newman, and thanks for joining us today. We've got a very cool show lined up. I've got Andy Goldner of Ex Magma coming up here in just a few minutes. Ex Magma was an awesome 70s experimental kraut prog band, and you'll get to hear some of that music and hear from Andy himself in just a few minutes, so hang in there. And for now, we've got Andy Goldner of the awesome kraut prog masters Ex Magma on the phone. Andy Goldner?
Yeah.
Andy, what's
Hi,
up?
Hi, Noon. Hi, Mike.
Right on time, right?
Yeah, right on time, man.
Okay, good, good, good.
Okay.
How you doing today?
It's all right. I'm okay.
Cool, cool.
I'd like to say something before we start with the interview, if that's
sure.
Okay for you.
Yeah.
Just for the people, yeah. Because the last months I didn't speak much English, and I have to adjust my mouth to the English language again. And that's what I did. I just had a walk through the woods, and I've been talking to myself in English, and just to calibrate my muscles a bit,
yep.
Mouth muscles.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, and so maybe my pronunciation sometimes is a bit off, or there might be some words leaving my mouth which are not meant to hit your eardrums, or maybe the grammar is out of style, or on the loose, or I don't know,
We're not worried about that here.
I try my best, Ich kann auch Deutsch reden. Ich denke schon, dass viele das verstehen, but I think that would be not too nice to most of the listeners. And si je parle français, je suis sûr il y a assez de gens qui comprennent bien le français, but that would be not nice either to most of the listeners. So I stick to the most universal language for this planet, which is Chinese, probably.
All right, you're going to lose me. But,
yeah, me too. I lose myself. And, I believe English will stay the Esperanto of the new times,
Okay, all right. Let's stick with that, because that's about all I know. So
yeah.
Tell people where you're at right now. Let's see.
It's near Stuttgart. I'm living. I was born in Stuttgart, But I spend a lot of times in other countries and. But since a few years, I'm back in the area there. It's like 50 miles out of Stuttgart in the countryside.
Nice.
And it's called Schwäbian Alps, And it's like little mountains, like 1,000 meters high or so. And I'm living in a valley called actually Killertal,
So you're working on a film now. But for people that don't know... how do you describe Ex Magma and Ex Magma's music back in the 70s?
Yeah.
Go back a little bit.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we started in the 70s early. Yeah, I mean, in 70, really, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the time, end 60s, early 70s, of psychedelic music and where jazz and rock and roll and blues and all this stuff really got somehow mingled, melted together,
and
all kinds of styles came together, and we've been a trio, and we were, before we had our bands, like Tommy, the keyboarder, Tommy Balaf, and he had his soul band, and I had my R&B band, the like Pretty Things style, sort of.
Right.
And then we've been singing and playing, ordinary, normal instruments and stuff at that time, early 60s, mid 60s. And in end 60s, we got interested more in the whole vibe changed, the drugs came in and the good ones, I would say, like, acid or so. Everything got expanded sort of wider, and
yep.
and when we met, Tommy and me, and started forming the Ex Magma, the band, we thought we didn't want to sing no more, leave all the lyrics out, you know, just not to get specific or too direct in our output, sort of, you know, leave it in music, you know, and keep it open for, you know, open-minded people, you know, not too concrete with lyrics. You get really concrete sometimes, sure, why we have words, but we wanted to leave this out and concentrate on more on the vibes, the music, you know, and we didn't want to really compose anymore, you know. We prefer to improvise, you know, just to play what's in our head or in our heart or soul, you know. That's why I think we had a very specific style. I could not explain how, you know. I mean, some people call it crowd rock or, you know, freeform jazz, acid jazz kind of thing. I don't know. It's for me, to find a draw to put it in, I don't have that, you know.
Right. You don't need to do that to it.
No, someone else could do it, you know, like you or others who would hear that from, let's say, from the outside and say, well, it sounds like blah, 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 a little bit like Soft Machine, a little bit like Miles Davis, and a little bit like Jimi Hendrix, or, you know, and then maybe find some explanation for that. I don't have it.
Right. We don't necessarily need to do that here on this show. We kind of like to keep the boundaries down.
Yeah, that's cool. Let's listen to it and go on with that.
Exactly.
So let's hear some X Magma right now. This is Marilyn F. Kennedy on Beyond Beyond Is Beyond, EastVillageRadio.com. Dig it. That was Marilyn F. Kennedy by X Magma here on Beyond Beyond Is Beyond, EastVillageRadio.com. And let's get back to our conversation with Andy Goldner of X Magma.
So were those some of the groups that you mentioned there that inspired kind of your expansion of sound and like Miles Davis?
We've been a lot into all these, you know, in John Coltrane and Tony Williams' lifetime, and Frank Zappa, and Well, we started with the Beatles, you know, in the early 60s and the Rolling Stones, and then the Kings and the Who, and we have all this, you know, and then we have all the soul stuff, you know, the and the blues, all the blues greats, yeah. We knew always we yeah. know all kinds of music, and we were influenced in all kinds of different things, you know. We got often all kinds of music, yeah. We didn't have a special style, you know, which we listened to, and others we didn't like. We liked all kinds of stuff, not the ABBA situation, or, you know. We didn't get into that thing, you know, but in the commercial stuff, we had that in the early 60s, you know, all that we heard, and we found out real fast that we don't like that, and so we didn't care about it, you know, and mostly, well sold and well known music we didn't care about. Not because it's well known or so, but it was not interesting for us, you know, as we were searching for new frontiers, or no frontiers at all, you know.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that seemed like it. I mean, just the whole era of, you know, your band starting in 1970 you know, I'd been talking about this with other artists too that mentioned that at the time it was, everything was kind of mixed together, R&B and jazz and rock
The people got more open-minded, and that's why it was possible to do all kinds of stuff, yeah, because today I feel sometimes it gets more narrow-minded again, you know.
Right.
So more specific, they do this style, and they don't let other stuff in it, and the others do that kind of style and don't let other things in it, you know, and
right.
often it's kind of boring, you know.
Exactly, right.
I wish some stuff from the old days would be more important nowadays, you know.
Yeah, some of it is being recognized again as, you know, just like Anthology Recordings found the X Magma stuff and said, hey, this needs to be released.
Yeah, that's great. And there is always someone kind of, maybe sometimes even not just a few people who find these things or discover these old things. You know, young people, I get quite a lot of emails from all over the world, you know, from people beginning 20s, and they're interested in our stuff because they somehow heard it somewhere, you know, and that makes me happy, you know, that there are still young people who are interested in this experimental kind of music, you know.
Right, yeah.
And let's take a quick break and listen to Dance of the Crabs, X Magma, here on Beyond. Beyond is Beyond, eastvillageradio.com. That was X Magma, and this is Mike Newman, Beyond Beyond is Beyond, and back to Andy Goldner of X Magma on the phone right now.
So the name, your name, X Magma, of the band, is that true that came out of when you found out about the French band Magma?
Yeah. We've been already quite known in southern Germany with Magma, because we had that trio Magma, you know, before we played with Fred Bracewell on drums. We had this drummer Hannes Mayer, and he was younger than we were, and a very good drummer, and we called ourselves Magma, and we played for about a year. And one day Tommy came in our house and said, "Well, you know what? I was in the record store and I seen this record from a French band called Magma, and what shall we do?" You know, and we didn't have an album out at that time, So we knew we were the ones who have to change the name, you know. So, yeah, we were thinking of names, and we found the name Werewolf, and we thought that was kind of weird, you know, and we liked it somehow.
Right.
And we played under that name, but soon we found out that, we had lots of civil, you know, FBI kind of cops, German cops in the audience, and we were wondering why, you know, and... one guy told us that a werewolf was just after the Second World War a Nazi organization who still wanted to you know go on fighting as Nazis and stuff, and that's what they were doing, you know, having like you know all kinds of shooting people and stuff, and so they've been really the bad guys after the Second World War. And Nazis, old Nazis, and we, sure, we didn't want to be, you know, somehow caught in the same,
right.
or be seen in the same place as they were, you know, so we knew we had to change the name again, you know, and for sure, was a good part was that we didn't have it for long, you know, we didn't play like for months with that name, just a
right.
few weeks.
And, once and you then, started noticing the police.
Yeah, and then you know, first of all, what do they want? This is a drug situation. What do they want from us? You know, what is it? You know, and then we found out that they were just looking if we were Nazis and having all this propaganda or what we, you know, what.
Right, right, and you yeah. said, and you said, okay, we'll change our name. Just leave our drugs alone.
And we changed. Yeah, we changed, and we seen, we watched our you know. Poster and the werewolf, we had Ex Magma, you know, and then we said, oh well, why not take an Ex Magma and we write it in one word, you know, and that's a, you know, that's something else than magma, so we're not you know, it's no a problem, you know, to have a band Magma in France and Ex Magma in Germany, you know, so
right.
And finally, in France, when we were living in France, we met all these Magma people, and I knew the managers quite well, and we beat friends and stuff, you know.
Right, really right. Funny. Ex-Magma hanging out with regular Magma.
Every day it's such a drag. All I want is getting back with you. Yeah. I just want to take your hand and spit the seed. It's so sweet to lick your candle. Yes, I want to be.
That was Ex Magma, and we are back here on Beyond Beyond is Beyond with me, Mike Newman, and Andy Goldner of Ex Magma on the phone.
So, so like I was saying before, Anthology Recordings,
yeah.
a great download label,
yeah.
Has pretty much picked up all of the Ex Magma albums and your 1978 solo album, Infinity.
Yeah.
All of which I have and play here on the show, and
mm-hmm.
it's excellent music. But one thing I was wondering about, you know, the first two albums were released in 1973, 1974,
yeah.
And then Ex Magma 3 was done in 75, but was never released until 2006.
Yeah.
What's the explanation for that?
Well, the thing was we recorded the second one and the third one at Connie's studio, Connie Plank in Cologne, and the third one we did in 75, and we were living in France, so we had no label in Germany, and we were searching for a new label. The second one came out, and this French label called Disjuncta And we wanted to have another label, and we were looking. Our manager checked out all kinds of people, and Barclay Records were interested. You know, it's a big company. You might not know them, but in France, they're the biggest company, sort of French company, and they had the Beatles, Jimi Hendrix, and, you know, for right. France. And then they were interested, but they wanted to remix parts of it and maybe strip it down to a single album, because it was meant to be a double album. We had enough, and it was already completely finished. We had it recorded and mixed with Connie, and we loved it the way it was as a double album. And then they sort of insisted that they would release it, but they would want to change things, you know. So the album never came out at that time, you know.
Right.
And then 31 years later, Connie Plank was already dead, you know, and we thought we had to release this album finally, you know, and that's what we did
right.
in 2006. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Actually, it might come out in 2-3 months as a double album vinyl, because it's out now as a CD or with Anthology Recordings. You can download it there. But it was never on vinyl as it was meant to be at that
right.
time. We didn't have no CDs.
So. Yeah, that would be great, because it's such a great album. And I like the direction that, because on that album, you did start adding vocals. And
Later on, we were more into construction, sort of, you know, composing and starting writing lyrics. And yeah. Yeah, I think for me, it's. I mean, everyone has his own taste, but for me, it's the best album. For Tommy too, we too like this one.
Yeah.
If we could say well, that we like one album best of the others, we would say that's the third one. Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and that's what's so
yeah.
that's what's so crazy. The idea that it never even came out.
Yeah.
It's the best, you know, the best work, and it didn't come out till 2006. Well, now it gets appreciated down the road, which is cool. And then everybody that gets into it nowadays, it's kind of an extra cool little nugget to know that, like, that it was squashed for so many years. It's like finding a hidden treasure or something.
Yeah.
So, well, that's really cool. And that Anthology Recordings is putting it out, and that would be great to see on vinyl, that's for sure.
So let's hear something from X Magma 3 right now. This is Box 25 on Beyond Beyond is Beyond, eastvillageradio.com. Dig it. Bye.
reality. Now the crew is washing up asses 8 hours a day. Things to keep the people away from.
That was X Magma Box 25. And let's get back to our conversation on the phone with X Magma's Andy Goldner here on Beyond Beyond is Beyond, EastVillageRadio.com.
I mean, that was my solo album, the one you know you talked about just before, uh-huh. The Andy Goldner Infinity album. That was a very important album for me, or still is. And for many others too, you know, because it was right after X Magma, you know, and it was already a step ahead, I would say, or maybe a step in another direction, whatever. But still, not the mainstream rock and roll, you know. So, but more a little more song constructed, sort of, you know. And when I had the demo tapes ready, when we were ready. I went to Connie and presented it, and he loved it and wanted to produce it. And Giorgio Gomelski, I knew him from Paris. He was also interested to produce it. And but as I worked with Connie all these years, and we stuck with him. We stayed together like the team, sort of, you know.
Right.
And we recorded it and in his studio, and he produced it. And so the first Andy Goldner album came out, yeah, and we had over a year we played live, you know, and was right after X Magma, the next project, and then there were lots of other things.
Now the Infinity album is also, yeah, it's fantastic. It kind of picks up where X Magma 3 left off a little bit.
Yeah.
A little more songwriting and kind of getting funky and rocky and poppy
I like that very much still, this album, I must say.
Oh yeah totally still holds up. And you know what, I had seen your promotional video from that album on Anthology's website. And it's great. I mean, it's, you almost do like pretty much a video for that song, you know, like dancing and playing guitar. And in the same video there's a little bit of an interview in there. And, it's 1978, and you kind of made what was probably for the time a bit of a bold statement saying that you believe that marijuana should be legalized.
Yeah. That was like that when they showed it in Cannes at the meeting in 79, you know.
Right.
For that, that's why I had to, we did it in December 78 and it had to be ready in January 79 because our a publisher, he went there and he wanted to take a video with him, so we had to be ready by then, and he played it there, and everybody was watching it on a big screen, you know, in front of the building, and there were not so many videos at that time, so it was really interesting for all the big companies to watch what people do, you know, like what kind of artists are around and stuff. And so it was. It really had it was a scandal, a small scandal, because when I said that, you know, people they most of them they could not understand.
Right.
You know, they were like shocked, and you know, and strange.
Uh-huh, right.
But we had a nice promotion with that, you know, because everybody remembered this moment or this
The shocking moment.
Yeah.
It's funny, and it seems like society hasn't even come that much further from that moment.
No, actually. It's still the same.
Right.
Yeah, it's still the same. It's 40 years. You talk about also in politics. We don't want to talk about politics now too much, but so many things don't change. You know, a lot we knew since 40 years, we know certain things, and it still doesn't change. You know?
Right, exactly. Yeah, politicians still are scared of the stigma.
Yeah,
attached
yeah.
to even talking about it at all. So,
yeah.
I think we had one politician in California by the name of Arnold Schwarzenegger who breached the topic and said, "Hey, if we want to get our state out of debt, maybe that's something to think about." And
I
and it was kind of bold for somebody actually come out and say, "Hey, maybe," you know.
Yeah.
But
he was somehow close to the thing because he used to smoke in the old days, you know.
Right.
So he was not really, you know, I think most politicians are alcoholics, you know, and so they don't see any other thing than alcohol. I say it now a bit maybe.
Right. Yeah. Who knows?
Kind of narrow-minded way I say it probably, but you know what I mean, you know,
right.
I believe.
Yeah, well, it seems like the only thing that has made people even consider it is when, you know, it's extremely rough economic times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we can make money from it, then maybe.
That's one of the things, yeah, where it might be in discussion somehow, yeah. But then all the alcohol people come and you know, and they say, no, and then it's another culture. You start thinking too much, probably, you know.
Right.
You don't vote anymore.
Right. So, Andy, thanks so much for being on the show today. Let's play something from, we're going to play something from the solo album right now.
Okay.
You picked the song.
Thank you. I mean, what shall I pick from the solo album? You could play Full Moon. Probably it'll be Full Moon soon, probably.
All right, let's do Full Moon on Beyond Beyond is Beyond with Mike Newman and Andy Goldner of X Magma fame. Thanks a lot to Andy, and here's Full Moon, Andy Goldner.
Thank you, Mike. Bye.
Cheers.
To see you soon. To get your Beyond Beyond is Beyond. EastVillageRadio.com. Good day, sir.
Ah, see ya. Oh, God, my ear still at sea.